It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, beginning at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. It's been read. It's been sung, quoted, asserted, memorized, and testified. And so the psalmist begins, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, it's good to wait on the Lord. It's so good for us to wait on the Lord and to wait patiently. And is it not true that patience is a virtue? A psalm of David, and the heading reads, faith, persevering in trial. Faith in trial and faith persevering in trial and faith at all times and in all times. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This waiting is to bind, to twist, binding fast, to expect, to await, to fix one's hope, to be gathered together. Waiting patiently for the Lord and waiting patiently on the Lord. You know, God sustains his servants. Surely there are those in this place this day that can testify in like manner that the Lord, he inclined to me. And he heard my cry. For David, a pit, a horrible pit, brought out of miry clay. What for us and for each of us? The Wycliffe Bible to Victory, the song of David, patiently waiting. I waited for the Lord, and he gave attention to me. And he heard my prayers, and he led me from the pit. He led me out from the pit of wretchedness and from the filth of dregs. He ordained my feet on a stone, and he addressed my goings. He led me out of the pit of wretchedness and out of the filth of dregs. He ordained my feet upon a stone, and he directed my goings. He sent into my mouth a new song, a song to our God. Many men shall see and dread and shall hope in the Lord. And he put a new song in my mouth. A song to our God, and many shall see this and shall have fear and shall be in awe, and then they shall put their trust in the Lord. You know, so pure this line. I waited patiently. Patiently waiting, I waited for the Lord. The words of Charles Spurgeon, I waited patiently for the Lord. Patient waiting upon God was a special characteristic of our Lord Jesus. Impatience never lingered in his heart, much less escaped his lips. All through his agony in the garden, his trial of cruel mockings before Herod and Pilate, and his passion on the tree, he waited in omnipotence of patience. No glance of wrath, no word of murmuring, no deed of vengeance came from God's patient lamb. He waited and waited on, was patient and patient to perfection. far excelling all others who have, according to their measure, glorified God in the fires. Job on the dunghill does not equal Jesus on the cross. The Christ of God wears the imperial crown among the patient. Did the only begotten wait, and shall we be petulant, rebellious? And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Neither Jesus the head nor any one of the members of his body shall ever wait upon the Lord in vain. Mark the figure of inclining as though the suppliant cried out of the lowest depression and condescending love stooped to hear his feeble moans. What a marvel it is that our Lord Jesus should have to cry as we do and wait as we do and should receive the Father's help after the same process of faith and pleading as must be gone through by ourselves. The Savior's prayers among the midnight mountains and in Gethsemane expound this verse. The Son of David was brought very low, but he rose to victory, and here he teaches us how to conduct our conflicts so as to succeed after the same glorious pattern of triumph. Patiently waiting. I waited for the Lord. Patiently waiting, Jesus waited for the Lord, and patiently waiting, David waited for the Lord. Being there, being here, perhaps you are there, and so glad you're here, because the next line, he has put a new song in my mouth, sent into my mouth. I hope you can catch this today and receive this today. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined, he heard me, brought me up. But that line, he put a new song into my mouth. He sent into my mouth a new song. Not the same song. Not a familiar song. Not some old song. I mean, imagine the Lord putting a new song in your mouth, sent into his inclining and hearing, his work and workings, and a new song is being penned, and a new song is being written, and a new song is being birthed, a new song to sing, a new song to bless God with, a new song to entertain angels with, a new song to rouse others with. No, not a known song, but a new song, a fresh song, a God song. You know, I thank God for every new song that he's put in my mouth. A song and songs I didn't know. And I didn't know how to sing. But now I know. Because of the experiences lived. And the God I serve and love. Think of the songs he's put in your mouth. And one time it was a song. They were songs you didn't know how to sing. You didn't know them. What a gift of God. What a gift from God. And a song and even songs that others may not know. Perhaps they will sing like songs one day. And, you know, there are songs that I don't know yet. Songs to be written. Songs of God, and he will put them in my mouth. He knows when and he knows how. A song of praise, a song to God, and beyond the song, a life song to God. Times and past times when perhaps there was impatient waiting. Impatiently waiting, I waited for the Lord, ever being there. But things have changed. Things are different now. James 1, 2 to 8, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That is endurance, perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work. Apparently, you can choose not to let patience have its perfect work. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, that is mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The key to profiting from trials. Patience. And allowing patience to have its perfect work. There is the perfect work of patience. And the trying of faith produces patience. Faith produces patience. Must have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's a strong word. Faith produces patience, and now let patience have its perfect work. Faith in God, faith in who He is, this produces patience. Because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those that are called according to His purpose. Wycliffe Bible, the proving of your faith worketh patience, and patience hath a perfect work. That ye be perfect and whole, and fail in nothing. Soothly, patience hath a perfect work, that ye be perfect and whole, in nothing failing. The Living Bible, when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems, for when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you'll be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. Faith. Must have faith. Faith in God, and faith produces patience and even patient waiting. Patiently waited, I waited for the Lord. And so get ready. A new song's coming. Take hope when tests come. Trust God. The NLV, you know, these prove your faith. It helps you not to give up. Learn well how to wait so you will be strong and complete and in need of nothing. The Voice Bible, don't run from tests and hardships. Brothers and sisters, as difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them if you embrace them. Your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. Be it a pit, a literal pit, or whatever it be, recall the patient waiting. Patiently waiting. I waited for the Lord. And do you recall the time and the times that He inclined to you and heard your cry? Brought you up out of whatever it be, and set your feet upon a rock and established your steps. He put a new song in your mouth. Praise to your God, and many have seen it in fear, and many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. An audible song and a visible song. You know how instrumental patient waiters in the kingdom of God are? How instrumental patient waiters are in kingdom advancement, in kingdom building, and even this form of evangelism, this form of holy example, and so on. My, the Lord has used many a patient waiter that others see and fear and trust in the Lord. Heaven will tell, eternity will tell of the impact of patiently waiting. I waited for the Lord. And there are those, even in this place today, who can testify of the impact of a patient waiter. The impact that a patient waiter had on you, is having on you, on your situation, your circumstance, your life, your faith, your walk with the Lord. Impatience. Every parent knows what I'm talking about. And yet it's not just the children. And it's not just the young in the faith. We've all dealt with impatience. We've all been patients of impatience. I'm patient. Waiting patiently. I waited for the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm asking the Lord to work greater patience in my life. Charles Stanley said, the scriptures contain many stories of people who waited years or even decades before the Lord's promises came to pass. What modern believers can learn from the patience of biblical saints like Abraham, Joseph, David, and Paul is that waiting upon the Lord has eternal rewards. Ecclesiastes 7:8, the patient in spirit are better than the proud in spirit. I'm too proud to wait. And I've got pride, and so I don't know how to wait. Patience is a virtue. Do you know that patience is proof of the Holy Spirit? In the life of the believer, the Christian, patience is proof of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 to 23, the NLT, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. Philip's New Testament. The Spirit, however, produces in human life. Man, we need the Spirit to produce in human life. In our human lives. Producing in the produce. Fruits such as these. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. And no law exists against any of them. Those who belong to Christ have crucified their old nature with all that it loved and lusted for. If our lives are centered in the Spirit, let us be guided by the Spirit. Lives centered in the Spirit, and the evidence is going to show up. Because the Spirit of God produces change, radical change in human life. Romans 12:11-12, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Why did you have to put this in there? Patient, that is persevering in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And so what might patience look like in tribulation? Well, the answer's right there. No lag in diligence. Fervency in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Steadfast in prayer. Still steadfast in prayer. Because when you're facing things, the Spirit of God doesn't take a break. But the Spirit of God would keep producing. That's evidence that the Spirit is alive and working in your human life. Maybe we need to pray. Spirit of God, produce in me. Because when I face things, love goes out the window. Joy peace. Patience. God, I'm way too impatient. For some, the drive-through, it'll prove it this afternoon. Just how impatient you are. I remember a time I had to go to the emergency room. I've shared this story before. Just going to fast forward real quick. And I'm waiting. You know, because I'm not missing a limb, but I needed stitches and the bleeding wouldn't stop. And so, take a seat. Good thing I brought my Bible. Always a good idea to bring your Bible to the waiting room. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And the hours are rolling by. I'm like, it was busy. And I just remember this one young kid, and he was with his dad. There's others in there, and a lot went on. But he just got so impatient. Now, granted, he was waiting longer than I had up to that point. But, you know, he got to the point where he's like, Dad, I'm out of here. They got up and left. 2 minutes later, they called his name. Well, I guess you can come back and do it all over again. Patiently waiting. I waited. This a form of patience, Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing. For no thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Peace and the patient waiter. Impatience is the way of the fool. Sounds like a strong point, but it really is the way of the fool. 1 Samuel 13:8-14. He waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him, so Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him, bless him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Do you know that impatient waiting manifests disobedience? In our walk with the Lord, impatient waiting manifests disobedience. The words of David Wilkerson we see in 1 Samuel 13 that Saul faced a crucial moment that every believer must eventually confront. So good news, this is a message for everyone today. It is a time of crisis when we are forced to decide whether we will wait on God by faith or get impatient and take matters into our own hands. Saul's pivotal moment came when Ominous clouds of war were gathering over Israel. The Philistines had amassed a huge army of horsemen, iron chariots, and legions of soldiers brandishing the latest weapons. By contrast, the Israelites had only two swords in their entire army, one for Saul and one for his son, Jonathan. Everyone else had to use makeshift weapons such as wooden spears or crude farm tools. A week earlier, Samuel had warned Saul to wait for him at Gilgal. Before going into battle, the prophet had said that he would arrive after 7 days to make the proper sacrifices to the Lord. When the seventh day came and Samuel hadn't arrived, Saul's soldiers began to scatter. Worse, the king didn't have any direction. He didn't have God's direction for the battle. What approach did Saul take? Did he stand firm, declaring, "I don't care if it takes Samuel 8 days to arrive, I'm going to stand on God's word to me. Live or die, I'll obey as a command." No, Saul panicked. He allowed himself to be overwhelmed by his circumstances, and he ended up manipulating his way around God's word. He ordered the priest who was present to make the sacrifice without Samuel, and in doing so, committed a grievous sin against the Lord. 1 Samuel 13, 11-12. No, God is never too late. All along, the Lord knew each step Samuel was taking toward Gilgal. He had set the prophet on a heavenly navigation system, pinpointing his arrival to the very second. Samuel would be there by day 7, even if it was 1 minute before midnight. God has not changed throughout the ages, and he is still concerned with whether his people obey his command. Obey the voice of the Lord and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, 1 Samuel 12:15 paraphrased. It doesn't matter if our lives are spinning out of control. We are to walk in total confidence in the Lord. Even if things look hopeless, we are not to act in fear. Rather, we are to wait patiently on him to deliver us as his word promises. The fact is, God stood right beside Saul as the massive Philistine army pressed in. He knew the crisis Saul was in, and his eye was on every detail. Our God sees every detail of our lives. He sees every detail of your crisis. He sees all the life problems pressing in on you. And he's fully aware of your situation. He's fully aware your situation is getting worse daily. Those who pray and wait on him with calm faith are never in any real danger. Moreover, he knows all your panicky thoughts. "I don't see how I can ever repay this debt. I don't have any hope for my marriage. I don't know how I can keep my job." Yet his command to you still holds true. Don't panic or get ahead of me. You are to do nothing but pray and rely on me. I honor everyone who puts his trust in me. Consider these words God has given to his church. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 62:8. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He's their help and their shield, Psalm 115:11. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. Unbelief is deadly. Its consequences tragic. And we face dire consequences if we try to extricate ourselves from our trials. Instead of trusting God to see us through, them. You know, perhaps we are facing dire consequences right now and we're trying to extricate ourselves from our trials instead of trusting God to see us through, to help us. Patiently, we've waited. And perhaps patiently, we've waited 7 days, whatever the 7 days represent this day. And the text says that he did, in fact, wait 7 days. According to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come. The message paraphrase, he waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. Samuel failed to show up. The soldiers were slipping away right and left. So Saul took charge. You know, God is never too late. All along, the Lord knew. the arrival down to the very second. Samuel would be there by day 7. Yes, even if it was 1 minute before midnight. 1 minute before midnight. I wonder how many have waited only to take charge because they thought time was running out on God. Running out for God. Your time's running out, Lord. And finally, your time has run out, Lord. Stand firm. God's never late. Patience. You know that it's the proof of love? 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. So if I have love for God, love is patient. The Lord knows what each person needs to hear today. Trust the appointed time. Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It's literally saying, though he linger, wait for him, and full of confidence. You know, it might just be a working on and of character. Like, God, I don't need my character worked on. That would make you a character. Romans 5:1-4. Since we have been made right with God by our faith, let us have peace with God. This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ, who through our faith has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And we are happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. We also have joy in our troubles because we know. I wonder, do we know today? Because we know that these troubles produce patience. And patience produces character, and character produces hope. Patient. You might be the patient. Patient, or you might become a long-standing patient. Because God cares about our character. He's trying to work in us and on us that he might work through us. Brothers or others have thrown you in a pit. The Lord meant it for good. The Lord means it for good. Into the pit, Joseph, these brothers, they can't harm you or kill you. And God took Joseph out of the pit. No brother or brothers did. It was God. And a new song set in the dreamer's mouth. A song he didn't know. A song he didn't know how to sing. And it was an audible song. And it was a visible song. And yeah, when we don't know what to do, our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you, Lord, looking to you. The one translation, it says, direct your eyes to the Lord. Direct your eyes. It doesn't say the Lord is going to direct your eyes. It says, direct your eyes to the Lord. Be counted worthy 2 Thessalonians 1, 4-5, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience of faith in all your persecutions and tribulations, afflictions, that you endure, which is manifest, literally plain evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. I waited patiently for the Lord. This is active. This waiting is active. You know, I need to twist in with God. I need to get twisted in this manner, not twisted in wrong manner. Like twisted mind, twisted spirit, twisted character, twisted feelings, twisted speech, twisted vision, twisted heart, etc. This a constant need and an urgent need when it's time for patient waiting. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Wait in faith and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You're in the house of the Lord and you're saying, I need some strength. Well, wait on God. You need wings? Wait on God. You need legs? Wait on God. We're just trying to seed hope today, faith today. Psalm 130:5-6. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Psalm 33:20-22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord. And what does it say here? And wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Psalm 37:34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. A lot of weight in the Bible, and a lot of weight. But you know what I'm saying? A lot of weight. A lot of weight. Cool your jets. Slow down. That hasty spirit. Wait. How many of you have taken themselves out of the plan because of impatient waiting? And it's manifest as disobedience. You know, the Lord is so good. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. God will be gracious. Isaiah 30:18, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, you mean God waits? Yeah. And therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Psalm 62:5, my soul, wait silently. Wait thou only for God alone. Surely, certainly, no doubt. For my expectation, my hope is from him. The NIV, yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Isaiah 64:4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor have perceived by the ear, nor has I seen any God besides you who acts for those, for the one who waits for him. Is it dark? Charles Spurgeon, he said, to trust God in the light is nothing, but trust him in the dark, that is faith. Psalm 130:5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. Genesis 49:18, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. Yes, we shall not grow weary of waiting upon God if we remember how long and how graciously he once waited for us. We are to be a waiting people, a people that wait, that trust in God in the waiting. That know God in the waiting. This active form of waiting. James 5:7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And this speaks Really, in two ways. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. Waiting, looking, expecting. Let's have the worship team return today. Romans 8:20-25. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption, that is decay, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Are we a part of this? A part of this travailing? Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. More waiting! But look at this kind of waiting. It's eager waiting. Eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Or we could talk about heaven, and we do. You know, we're waiting, aren't we? Waiting for the coming of the Lord, but we're eagerly waiting for the day we slip into glory. Listen to these verses, Hebrews 11:13-16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. You're like, God, I want to receive every promise before I slip into glory. But there are some promises that aren't for our lifetime. We see them in part, we see them in measure. Listen to this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Sounds like some serious, I waited patiently. And there are promises given that we may not see in our lifetime, but in the generation and generations to come. And our waiting patiently is crucial. It's part of the plan of God. You're like, can my impatience mess it up for the next generation? I don't know. You can go to God and ask him. Can my impatient waiting that perhaps manifests as disobedience, but things were supposed to be set in place in my time for a future generation, can I mess it up? Go to God and ask him. Well, the Lord has been waiting on some for a long, long time. Long-suffering, waiting on you, patiently waiting. He's waited, and yet you shouldn't make him wait any longer, because time is ticking away. The hour of salvation will give way to the night. He's not willing that any perish. You need not wait any longer. You should not wait any longer. He loves you and he died for you. And you know that he waited for this moment in history. Even this service this morning to welcome you into the fold. To show you the greatest love. To pour on you grace and mercy. By this we know love, that he laid down his life. Well, you know, it's tragic. It's tragic when the waiting ain't right. When it isn't patient. And we end up with no new song. There was a song God wanted to give us, a song you wanted to put into our mouth. And beyond a song, whatever it might mean, something God wanted to teach us, wisdom he wanted to give us, understanding that we could encourage others in their times of waiting, but if we don't wait patiently, we end up with no song. Wait with all our trust. Waiting patiently. I waited for the Lord. Let's stand in the house today.